Welcome back to the podcast. I'm getting more regular with these things. Those of you that have been asking for more podcasts, it is clearly working. I actually meant to do this episode yesterday, but I couldn't get past 10 minutes. It was like every time I hit right around the 10-minute mark, my voice would just give out. I tried a few times before I finally was like, look, it's not happening tonight. We'll give it a try tomorrow. Now, it's funny because I actually did a podcast Sunday and my voice was a wreck. I've listened to a little bit of the podcast and I don't sound anything like my normal self. And I've had a few people message me saying the exact same thing. Now, the podcast is all about the PGF. We talk well over 2 hours. I was on the PGF Insiders. It is available on all podcasting platforms. It was a great chat. The PGF is right around the corner, and I cannot wait until the coaches draft. I am fascinated to see how all that plays out with Andre Galvao, Hodger Gracie, Eddie Bravo, and Keegan Machado. I'm wondering how prepared they'll be, and if they understand how difficult an auction draft is. And this season, the draft will have a fixed amount that you are able to spend. So it won't be like last season where there was just a luxury tax if you went over. This season, all four teams have the exact same amount of money to play with. And yeah, it's going to make things way more competitive and way more interesting rather than just kind of having a team run away with the best team because they have more money to spend than everybody else. Now, before I get into the topics I want to talk about, I implore you to take care of your mental and physical health. Mental health, you're meditating, you're talking to your friends, you're expressing your emotions in a healthy manner. You're keeping a journal, you're taking good supplements for your brain, you're resting whenever you're feeling stressed, just doing the little things. If you need to talk to a therapist, there is no shame in that. Once a week, talking to a counselor is one of the best things I did in my life. I did it for 1 year and it was truly eye-opening. I learned a lot about myself that year. But I want to talk about the physical health because a lot of people, they are just unaware of their basic physical health, like their blood, like what their blood work looks like, what their resting heart rate is, what their HRV is. And I was one of those people. But for the past 2 years, I have been using the Whoop strap and I am sold. I've talked about this many times on the podcast, but I'm talking about it today because something crazy happened, guys. I'm pretty sure I told you, but if I didn't, 3 weeks ago, I started taking creatine and I've never been the biggest supplement guy and I haven't taken creatine in probably over a decade. I mean, it has been a really, really long time since I took creatine. And the last time I took it was for about a couple of months. It was just form powder. I'd mix it into my water, drink it before I went to the gym. And that was that. Hadn't done it in a long time. But recently I've listened to a few different podcasts where professional athletes have talked about how they take creatine. I've listened to a couple of jiu-jitsu guys. I think it was Ethan Krillinston in particular that was like, I take creatine. I feel like it really works for me. And so I was looking for a new supplement to try and I wanted to give creatine a shot. Went to GNC, picked up a bottle of creatine. It was pill formed and I believe the brand is Dr. Creatine. I don't know. I was talking to the GNC people. They said this was a really good brand that a lot of people use it. And, you know, they gave me this whole spiel on it. I bought it. And now creatine, I know, look, I've heard a bunch over the years about creatine, how it's the best bang for your buck because it is pretty cheap in comparison to a lot of other supplements. Also, that it is the most tested supplement and there are basically zero side effects. You just need to drink a lot of water and you will get stronger. Pretty simple, right? Well, I started creatine, like I said, 3 weeks ago and about a week in, I noticed that my Whoop was giving me really low recoveries in comparison to what I was normally getting, and that my heart rate was about 10 beats per minute higher than it normally is, and my HRV was about 10 points lower than it usually is as well. I also started to notice that my joints started to hurt. And if you guys remember, I've talked about this a handful of times on the podcast, how one of the big reasons that I started the carnivore diet and that I stuck for it for so long. I mean, I was pure carnivore for over a year, right around a year and a half. And it completely got rid of the arthritis in my shoulder from my shoulder surgery. And I also just had like achy hands. Like I had a little bit of arthritis in my hands and that was bothering me, as well as my right elbow, the elbow that I tore my UCL on. And I started to notice again, right around like a week, probably about a week and a half, my joints started to hurt more. My elbows in particular, that right elbow was really bugging me. And nothing else had changed. My diet hadn't changed. I wasn't working out any differently. There was zero injuries that had occurred. And since I've dealt with arthritis in the past, like I kind of just know what that feeling feels like. I know that type of pain. And I was like, man, this is crazy. And I continued on creatine for another week because I was like, look, I've read so much or I've heard so much about creatine from different doctors. You know, if you watch any top 10 supplements you should be taking, I mean, creatine's always in the top three for athletes and people that are trying to get stronger. Decided to do some more research and really do a deep dive into creatine. And I started with the doctors. I tried to find a doctor on YouTube that would say something bad about creatine. Maybe how it raised the heart rate, how it caused inflammation. I looked into arthritis, like creatine and arthritis. Should you be taking it or does it make arthritis worse? And I saw nothing. Every single doctor that I found, and I listened to a dozen plus videos from exercise, doctors to just regular doctors to even like guys like Andrew Huberman, and nothing. They all say the same thing. Creatine has been tested a bunch of times in a lab and there are no side effects. There are no major side effects. It is a very, high reward, low risk. So low risk, high reward supplement. The reward is you get stronger. The risk is there's just not really any. And so I had to try and find personal accounts. And I really like using Reddit for research. Now, obviously, Reddit can be a dumpster fire. Like you can find some crazy stuff on Reddit, from just crazy conspiracies to fake news. I get it. But I also like Reddit because I like reading, especially in something like this case, like reading people's accounts and of their use of, and in this case, their use of creatine. And I read and found a bunch of people that said similar things to that I said, that once they started taking creatine, their heart rate jumped up a bunch, in particular people that were using Whoop straps, because I wanted obviously somebody that was tracking their heart rate and their HRV and everything. And there were a handful of people that said the exact same thing, like Whoop users that were like, yeah, like my recovery scores tanked, my resting heart rate went up and my HRV dropped. I found other people that said that they felt like it increased their inflammation and that their joints ached more after taking creatine. And I promise you, nothing else changed in my life. I had zero injuries. My diet is the exact same. I can look back at my Whoop scores from when I started creatine, like the month prior to starting creatine, and then the 3 weeks of taking creatine, and there is a night and day difference. Now, here's the craziest part. I stopped taking creatine on Friday. And today is obviously Tuesday. Well, 3 days after I stopped taking it, my recovery score was a 98% on my Whoop strap. And my resting heart rate was back down to 46 beats per minute. My HRV was sky high. And my joints ache way less. Like I can already feel that the inflammation that was in the joints is gone. And so I don't know what to think. I believe that human beings are all different, and that while some people cannot have dairy, I am somebody that I can have as much dairy as I want and I notice zero changes. But Travis, for instance, is lactose intolerant and he cannot have dairy. And so maybe this is just one of those things that creatine, for whatever reason, doesn't work. I also know two people personally that also get weird side effects from creatine. One, they get like swelling in their lips. It's really crazy. Like their lips look like they've been punched, like they got punched in the lip and it's all swollen. It's really strange. But anyways, that's my experience with creatine. But it's also, I just really wanted to say that I implore you guys again to have something like that, to just keep track, because then you know if you try something or maybe you're getting sick, or the whoop strap tells me all of that. Like it lets me know, like, man, you're not recovered today, or man, your resting heart rate is sky high. You're either sick or, again, you didn't recover, and you should really rest, or you should really prioritize your recovery today. Or something like this, like, hey, you're taking a new supplement, and I can see how it interacts with my body for, you know, what is it, 20, 25 bucks a month. I can really just kind of keep track of my basic health, as well as making sure that I'm getting my blood work done every 6-ish months. That stuff is so important. And so I implore you again to just really take those things seriously, the mental health, the physical health. And I'm really glad that I had the whoop strap, especially just to kind of show me how creatine was working with my body. And clearly it does not. And so maybe it was a tainted supplement. I know that's possible. So maybe there was something else in that batch of creatine, but I will not be going back to creatine anytime soon. MMA fights. You guys have heard countless crazy stories from my MMA adventure so far, and you guys have listened to me talk about guys pulling out the day of the fight, guys showing up 20 plus pounds over, guys canceling for crazy reasons, guys that don't train taking fights, tons of stuff, right? Well, Saturday is the first time I have cornered MMA in this calendar year. So my first time cornering in 2024 was at a show in Huntsville, Alabama. Now, I cannot tell you how awesome it was to have the show in Huntsville. Obviously, very, very close to where I live. Don't have to get a hotel room or anything like that. It was easy for the guys to cut weight and go to the weigh-ins. It was really easy to just not go out of our way, you know, to go to this event and show out. And I hope there's a million more shows in North Alabama, because again, it's so much better than having to drive 3+ hours to any of these other events. But show up on Saturday. And typically the promoter wants you to get there, the fighters and the corner and their cornermen to get there about 3 hours prior to the event. Now, the athletes that day, they need to get a physical, and then there's a rule meeting that takes place, and then everybody kind of goes back to their locker. Some of the guys will get in the cage or just kind of feel the cage out, because every cage is different, whether it's the size or the vinyl or just, you know, like the stuff that they're actually covering the cage. Well, that stuff's a little different. Some guys like to see how it feels on their, you know, like just move around and see how it feels, how bouncy it is. Some cages are harder than others. So that's the pretty typical pre-fight routine. You get there 3 hours early, fighters get physicals, fighters and corners listen to the rules meeting, any questions are asked that you might have to the referees. Then you go back to the locker rooms and you essentially chill until it's time to wrap hands, warm up, and then have the actual fight. Well, I show up to this event and I'm like, look, it's in Huntsville, Alabama. What could possibly go wrong? Both the opponents showed up the day before, weighed in, ready to go. So should have two athletes fighting. It's going to be a good night. I was projecting two pretty fairly easily wins. Now, Christian fought the Vanilla Gorilla, and it was his first time fighting since he lost back in, what was it, September, I believe, for Cage Fury. And Christian was on a 4-fight win streak, took a pretty bad loss. He took a TKO loss to a very good fighter, and this guy's now won 4 in a row. I'm expecting to see him on the Contender Series probably in the fall. If he gets one or two more wins, he's definitely a pretty hot prospect. And anyways, this was Christian's first fight back, though. And he was fighting a guy that he should beat, and I was expecting him to beat him fairly easily. And then Dylan was fighting for this promotion's 135-pound belt. Dylan has improved. Dylan Booker has improved a ton. He's a guy that's been training at our gym for about a year, maybe coming on a year and a half now, and he has improved a ton, particularly in his grappling. So going there feeling good. It's always nice when you're like really confident in your guys. It's going to be a good weekend. Show up there at 4, and the doctor's not there. Now, that's not unusual. Doctors at these MMA events, they're required to be there. And so typically the event finds a doctor, they pay them. I mean, I have no clue what these guys are getting paid, but they have to pay them for the event. They do all the physicals, and then the doctor has to be there the entire time. So you cannot have an MMA fight if a doctor is not cage shot. It is illegal, and the event will be shut down. I can't imagine the fines the promotion would have to pay if they tried to have an event without a doctor. Like, the doctor is very, very important. Well, this guy was supposed to be at 4, didn't show up. Now at 4:30, the promoter's starting to panic. He's calling. He finally gets hold of the doctor, and the doctor tells him he is not coming. So we're 2.5 hours before the event. None of the guys have gotten physicals, and there is no doctor coming. The promoter, and the athletic commissioner talking, and the athletic commission goes, I've never seen this happen. Now, this guy's fairly new. He took over the Alabama Athletic Commission in the middle of last year, but he's probably done 10 to 15 events, and he was like, this is the first time a doctor has canceled. And so he didn't know what to do. So people start scrambling to try and find a doctor, and you see a handful of different people on their phones, and we are told to come back at 5:30, an hour and a half before the event. They're like, look, come back at 5:30. We'll have a doctor here, and we'll do the physicals, then we'll do a rules meeting. Boom, done, right? The event will start at 7, and we'll be right on time. We're going to have to hurry the physicals up, but just come back at 5:30, and everything will be ready to go. Well, we stay, So me, Matt Elkins, and Christian stay. Well, Dylan decides to leave because Dylan, he lives really close to the venue. He's like, all right, I'm going to get out of here. And he jets and just, hey, call me when the doctor shows up. Well, an hour passes, 5:30 comes, and there's still no doctor. Now everyone's starting to kind of panic because, again, without the doctor, there are no fights. And so a bunch of fighters, especially the guys from out of town, are like, oh my God, like, the fights aren't going to happen. Christian's starting to freak out a little bit. He's like, I am ready to, like, make my comeback. I'm ready to just get this monkey off my back from this last loss. He's freaking out. Dylan still hasn't shown back up. And I'm like, oh my God, is this event not going to happen? Is this the next tale I have to tell of my horrible history as being an MMA corner? Is this kind of just the next one where it's like, man, guys, the whole event got canceled because a doctor decided not to show up and they couldn't find another? Well, the athletic commission, the head of the athletic commission says that he goes, look, I'm a, I think he was like a nurse or something. He's like, I'm a nurse. And so I am going to give the physicals. And I don't know if this is true or not. I assume he is, but he did the physicals, but we still don't have a doctor, and the fights can't happen again without the doctor. So go through the physicals. Everybody's still kind of freaking out. A couple of fighters that I don't even know, like, two guys came up to me like, hey, do you know, like, if there really is a doctor or not? And I was like, I don't think there is. And like, well, our coach, he's not here tonight, and he says that we cannot fight if there's not a doctor, because then this event will be unsanctioned if there's not a doctor here. So even if we win, it won't go on our records. And I was like, look, I hear you. You got to do what you got to do. So yeah, there's just a lot of panic going around. Rules meeting goes down, but nobody's really listening to the rules. I mean, most of the time, I mean, the rules are the exact same. So I'm kind of one ear out the other. You're listening for obviously any buzzwords like, hey, this is a rule change, but honestly, the rules have been the same in Alabama for quite a few years now. But they do make one big announcement. And that is, you are not allowed to jump on the cage. So after the fight, do not jump up on the cage. If you do, there will be a suspension and you will forfeit your fight. And they said the reason was that last show, somebody jumped up on the cage. They fell off. They had to go to the hospital. They acted like somebody almost died. I don't know. I can only imagine what the footage of that looks like. But at this point, I'm like, dude, this is such a shit show. Like, was supposed to, you know, again, we were supposed to have a doctor there at 4. It's 5:30. The head of the athletic commission is doing these physicals. They're giving us just a super quick rules meeting. And then they're like telling us that we're not, the athletes aren't allowed to jump on the cage because somebody almost died at the last event, you know. And I'm always looking around and I'm just imagining like half these dudes probably don't even train in a real gym. Like, just more and more negative MMA thoughts. Like, dude, as much as I love MMA and I do like the shows, like the shows are fun to be at, but it's so unprofessional. Well, luckily, a doctor shows up just past 7. They end up starting the fights 15 minutes late. No big deal, because a lot of people were really questioning whether they were going to happen. Now, the fights were pretty low level again. So the last event that one of our guys fought at in Birmingham, he killed it. He won with a 30-second knockout. Tried to stay to watch some of the other fights, but we ended up leaving really early because, again, the level was so low. Half these dudes looked like they had never trained before in their life. And this show was kind of much of the same. It just looked like a lot of super inexperienced guys. I mean, watching some of these dudes hit the mitts, watching some of these guys like practice grappling, I was like, there is no way half the dudes on this card have been training longer than a year. I would guess some of them have been training even less than 6 months. Guys wearing like basketball shorts and shorts with pockets to fight in. It's crazy. I had never seen that. One guy, there was the third fight of the night, he forgot his mouthpiece and they paused the fights for like 10, 15 minutes for him to go in the back and find a mouthpiece to use. It was crazy. Christian fights first. And it was the first time also on one of these cards that the pros fought in the middle. And they had amateur fights. They had 4 or 5 amateur fights after the pros. I'd never seen that. Christian was definitely not happy about that. But Christian goes out there and he ended up getting a 30-second RNC. Didn't get hit one time. Got a huge takedown. Took the back. And yeah, I think he finished, like, the official time was like 42 seconds. And it's what I expected. The guy had a pretty poor record, and he'd been finished a bunch. Not the most quality opponent, but at the same time, it was a good win for Christian to kind of restart the streak. Christian has fought some really, really tough opponents. And yeah, like, it was just good for him to go out there, get back in the cage, get a win, get a finish real quick, and now he can look to fight a better quality opponent and his next fight. And we're hoping that's in like May to June. But Dylan Booker fights for the 135-pound championship. And he is the co-main event. So he's after Christian, even though he's an amateur. Dylan goes out there first round. He probably loses the first round. His opponent was pretty good. It was a very good fight. His opponent, I think, has had like 18 or 19 amateur fights. So very, very... a lot of experience for his opponent. And he's coming out of a pretty good gym. I believe he trains at Cobra, out of Cobra in Tuscaloosa. And they're one of the bigger gyms in the state. They've got a handful of fighters, bunch of competitors. They're good dudes. And so anyways, think Dylan probably loses the first round. Second round, his opponent tries to do a judo throw. And Dylan is phenomenal at just creating scrambles during takedowns. He's got really good balance, and he finds himself on top in a lot of takedown exchanges, and that's exactly what happened. He ended up winning the takedown exchange, and he finished in the mount position. So he's in the mount, wins back his posture, really nice ground and pound, forces his opponent to show his back, ends up taking the back and also finishing with a rear naked choke about a minute and 40 seconds into the second round. Well, right after he wins, he runs and jumps up on the cage. Their team is screaming. I hear multiple people in the audience, and I think it's corners, like people are screaming, he's jumped up on the cage. That's a suspension, and he forfeits the fight. He forfeits the fight. Now, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe. Literally, 5 seconds after he chokes this dude, the first thing he does is runs and jumps up on the cage because they had made such a big deal out of it. And Dylan, he didn't pay attention to the rules meeting. And look, I don't know if that's our fault or his fault or whatever. But he jumped up there, jumped back down. People are screaming like, oh, it's a DQ, it's a DQ. You know, they're saying his opponent won now, and it's an amateur fight. So if it was a pro fight, I'd have been freaking out. Amateur fight, I was like, if they end up disqualifying him, I mean, who cares? We got the win. Everybody knows we got the win. It doesn't go on as like true. If when he goes pro, it's all a clean slate anyways. But yeah, I wasn't freaking out too much about it, but there was definitely some really pissed people. Couple people from the athletic commission came up to us and were like, hey, like, your guy probably just lost the fight right there. Probably just lost the fight. And we were like, okay, it is what it is. Matt was talking, and Matt's got a really good relationship with the head of the athletic commission. And some of those people, I think two or three people met with, and the commission met up, and they talked it out super quick. This is all taking place in less than a minute. And they end up letting Dylan keep his victory, but they suspended him for 90 days afterwards. And we got a couple of harsh words from the athletic director, and really more like, because he really likes us and our team, because we do fight on a lot of shows and we support the Alabama scene. And when he first came into that role, you know, he definitely communicated a lot with Matt, and him and Matt, again, like I said, have a good relationship. And he was like, man, I was trying to only give him a 2-month suspension, but you know, you guys should just be happy that you're getting to keep the win. And I was like, look, I totally hear you. I heard you guys say that. Dylan didn't. He checked out during that moment. And anyways, crazy night. But 10th Planet Decatur overall. So we had Kyle fight for Aries in Knoxville, and he fought a really tough opponent from a really good gym out of Chattanooga. He won also by rear naked choke. And then one of our students from Ireland, Irish Taka, who's a purple belt, he also won by rear naked choke. So we had we went 4-0 in MMA fights, one fight in Ireland, one in Tennessee, and then two in Huntsville, Alabama. Finished all four fights by rear naked choke. We're on a nice little streak right now, winning streak. And I just wish MMA was more predictable. I wish people didn't pull out. I wish the shows weren't so unprofessional. I wish doctors didn't show, you know, like they showed up when they were supposed to, and athletes made weight and all this stuff, because man, it is a crazy experience. I'm telling you, I cannot believe some of these experiences I've had, and I've only been cornering for about 2 years now, I think. Yeah, 2 years, and I already have a bunch of crazy stories. So I can only imagine what it was like in the beginning. I bet it was a shit show. I bet some of these shows were just absolutely insane for some of the OGs that were involved. Oh my God, I can't imagine. Guys, I made a mistake. I've probably been too harsh towards Nicholas Marigali. Nicholas Marigali, Mr. Authenticity, the guy that is trying to take the mantle from Gordon Ryan as the best pound-for-pound grappler in the world. And he's rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, I think, because he's come in and a lot of his antics have looked a lot like Gordon's. And I really feel like fans appreciate, again, authenticity. They appreciate you being your own man. And anytime people have tried to copy Connors or Chael Sonnen, or, you know, whenever you try to copy somebody else, fans typically don't like that. And it really takes a lot for them to, like, get on your side. Nicholas Marigali, I, again, have been a critic of his. I've given him his flowers when they're due, but I feel like I need to, I feel like I've made some misjudgments in regards to his career and really, I guess, his trajectory and where he is at. He is a star. I was really thinking, and I've rewatched Nicholas's last three matches where he's beaten the 380cc, he's beaten 380cc champions. I mean, what he did to those guys, Felipe Pena, Kainan Duarte, and this last match against Mateus Denise. I mean, he is embarrassing these dudes. And he's doing it, and he's telling us like how he's going to do it. He's basically saying, like, look, I'm going to go out there and embarrass, make these guys quit. And I'm still kind of judging him off of last ADCC because I think his last ADCC performances weren't the best. And look, I'm not one of those guys. Like, I hate when people are like, Marigali just started training no gi. I'm like, dude, he's the best two or three gi grapplers in the world, pound for pound. Like, yeah, him and Tynan Dolfo, they're going to have super successful no gi careers as well. Like, duh. You know, they're phenomenal athletes. They're going to transition just fine. And so, yeah, I judged him probably a little too harshly at that ADCC. I mean, he did come away with the second place in the absolute and third place in his weight division, which is a very, very successful debut. But, yeah, I guess I'm still like, man, Craig beat him. I thought he lost to Yuri Samoas in his weight division. He lost to Yuri Samoas in the finals of the absolute. I didn't think he was that impressive at ADCC, but his growth since then, and again, what he's done in these past three matches, mind-boggling. And I declared Craig Jones, like, hey, we're in the Craig Jones era. We're in the Craig Jones / Nicholas Marigali era because he has a lot to say as well. And the reason I want to talk about Marigali is because that dude's got balls, man. He's not afraid of anybody. Much like Gordon, he'll challenge anybody. He'll talk trash with the best of them. He is one of the greats of all time. And Marigali has come out and done something that not even Gordon has done. Like, his latest call out of Yuri Samoas. So him and Yuri Samoas are 1-1, but Yuri won the big one. He won the absolute final at ADCC, and this is in no-gi. So Yuri beat him in the finals, and he beat him by two negatives. And Yuri Samoas, I have no clue how this guy has won any matches at ADCC, particularly this last one. I don't know how he got the decision over Lachlan Giles. I mean, Yuri, case in point, like when I talk to like some of the athletes that are getting ready for ADCC or just taking my classes on Mondays and Wednesday nights, I'm kind of telling them, like, look, to win, and especially at ADCC, you don't even have to grapple. You've just got to convince the refs and the judges that you're doing something, you're going forward. And Yuri Samoas is the best example of that currently. I mean, his last run is a excellent display of how someone did zero jiu-jitsu at basically the entire event, and really not much grappling at the entire event, and walked away as the absolute champion. I mean, it's crazy. But yeah, he's like, man, I've got this win over Marigali. I'm the man. Look, I don't think he won, but at the end of the day, his win is about as impressive as, I mean, it's not a real win. And especially with what Marigali's been doing, I just can't imagine that match would be competitive, especially how we saw Yuri get dominated by Nick Rodriguez. Now, Marigali has called out Yuri publicly now, and he wants a 30-minute match, which is the same length as their ADCC finals match. And he says that he is going to submit Yuri Samoas two times in that 30-minute time frame. And he's willing to bet $50,000 of his own money that he can submit Yuri Samoas twice in 30 minutes. And those are the type of bets, those are the type of matchups and call-outs that we want to see. And those are the type of things that really excite the fans of grappling. It's one of the reasons people fell in love with Gordon. And even the haters that don't like Gordon, they had to tune in because he was doing things that were just unheard of. Calling out your submission before the match, just on, I mean, who was, I can't even imagine doing that. I can't even really imagine going to like a Naga expert division and telling my, like, hey, I'm going to triangle choke you before the match and doing it. Or, hey, I've been working on this new sub. I'm going to hit you with this. And they're doing it to the best guys in the world. For Marigali, willing to bet $50,000 of his own money. And I'm positive, like, I think he would do this, much like Gordon. I mean, you guys, you remember, probably most of you aren't aware, Gordon Ryan, when he was broke, when he was still kind of a nobody in the sport, like, he was coming up, some of the really hardcore, no-gi-only guys, like, knew who he was, but most of the other people, he had zero major titles, no IBJJF titles, and back then, that was the standard. He had zero ADCC titles, that was the standard. And he did a $10,000 bet match with Todd Muckenheim at one of the Zapateros. And Todd was coming off of a Pan Am's win. And a lot of people in the community, like, that Pan Am's win was way more impressive than anything this Gordon Ryan guy had ever done. And Todd and Gordon put up $10,000. And Gordon claims, he's like, look, I had like $11,000 to my name and I put $10,000 of that up against Todd Muckenheim. I believed in myself that match. And look, Gordon absolutely destroyed Todd Muckenheim, won the bet match, so one, doubled his net worth or doubled his bank account, essentially with a 5-minute match where he just dominated and submitted one of the reigning Pan Am's champion at his weight class. But those are the type of things, you know, people talk about making a name for themselves and they talk about going out there and really creating a brand and doing stuff like that. And these type of call-outs, you know, when you go and you back it up. I mean, it was like Conor McGregor. Love him or hate him. I mean, when he was Mystic Mac and he was fighting guys, I remember him telling people that he was going to knock out, like, this whole lead up to the title fight with Jose Aldo. He's telling everybody, I'm going to knock him out in one. I'm going to knock him out in one. And Jose Aldo hadn't lost in like 10 years, and he looked unbeatable. Couple of greatest performances I've seen and have been from Jose Aldo. I mean, his fight against Mark Hominick, where he essentially gave Mark Hominick, like, I mean, the brain damage. He just had giant swellings on his head. I mean, it looked like he was growing like horns, or like he had these huge like horns on his head from where he'd been hit so many times. What Jose Aldo did to Uriah Faber, I mean, there's so many guys, and Conor went in there and knocked him out in 10 seconds. It's those things as athletes, you know, when you go and you bet on yourself like that and it does work out in your favor and you do win and you back it up, those are the type of things that turn you into a legend, like legends of your sport. Babe Ruth, right, when he called his shot in the World Series when he just pointed over and then hit a home run on that next pitch, like those are the moments that fans remember. And at the same time, when a guy like talks all the trash, you know, and they don't back it up, the fans will turn on you very, very, very quickly. But from what I can see, Marigali looks to be the real deal. He's probably the best guy in the world. I would put him as my number one now that Gordon's out. And if he can get like this match, like I think his next match at Fight Pass Invitational, I'm pretty sure it'll probably be like Mason Fowler. If he goes, submits Mason Fowler, and then takes out Yuri and subs him, like, dude, you talk about a 5-match run of beating Kynan Duarte, Philippe Pena, Denise, Mason Fowler, and Yuri Samoas. If he subs all 5 of those, I mean, you got to start talking about him if he goes and then does like double golds at ADCC. You got to start talking about him with Hodger Gracie as the goats of, you know, Gordon obviously didn't do gi, so he's missing half of it. But if Marigali goes out and does this and then wins double gold, he's right up there with Hodger in my book. That's saying a lot, but he'll be right up there with Hodger. Until next time, guys, I love and appreciate you. Peace.